Happy Thursday. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast here on JoeBucksFan.com, starring the great Sage, the mighty Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, who's been working his ass off this week, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee D. Kemper is here. Ira, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm worn out. You know, I'm trying to break down Darcy Glazer Kasowitz, ferret out information on Donovan Smith, talking to Todd Monken. Now, Lee, you were there when Monken was talking on Wednesday, and I almost interrupted him because somebody said, hey, is it important to win preseason games, Todd? What's going on there? And he goes, well, I thought I heard just somebody say, it might have been Mark Schlereth, that these games don't count, but they matter. I was going to interrupt and say, that's the lead of my column the other day.
He heard you.
You sure you weren't reading my column over there, Monken? So I showed a little discretion there, Lee, and I didn't want to embarrass the man, but I guarantee he got it from reading that column.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, I'm confident.
So there's another man that's reading Joe Buck's fan over there, Steven.
All right, Sage, of course, your podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Now, we had a wild day today at One Buck Palace because we have got plenty to talk about regarding that chat with Monken. We split up. I saw you talking to Mike Smith. I had some very interesting stuff with
Brent. We also had a nice little Cobb salad placed out for us before lunch, Steve. Let's get to the important stuff.
No, you know? Beets.
I got people taking videos of me, Lee, going to get a public sandwich at the Women of Red event. Where's the privacy, Lee? Where's the privacy? There might be a drone over my backyard tomorrow.
Well, at your pool?
I can't have that. Okay. We can't have that.
Has anybody ever taken a video of you getting a public sub?
I got Javier questioning me. What am I doing on the beach? I lose chairs. I lose my hat and my glasses. People know too much about me, Lee.
Two things on that. The drone over your house and your pool reminds me of that time when we were going on the road trip and you're like, I'm going to get my own room, right? I don't need you or anyone else seeing me in my undershirt.
So you love that line.
I love that line. Also, my wife is wondering, like many other people, we're flummoxed, why you went into the ocean with your glasses and your hat with waves?
Because I'm used to the Gulf over there, Lee. I didn't make the adjustment. A man must know his limitations.
You came out sluggish and you weren't ready to play happened.
A little foot and a half wave knocked the hell out of me.
You know, I was right. I, once upon a time when I wasn't as much of a slob as I am, I was used to diving in the Gulf. And one time I went down to the Keys, you know, in the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah, it usually only took me one seasick pill. And I'd be okay. I went out in the Atlantic Ocean, and man, I had a rough day.
Steve, it knocked me head over tea kettle. Head over tea
kettle. It did. It's still a mystery, though, why you weren't prepared. All right, Sage, before we hit on all this juicy meat that we have on the bone, we're going to hear from Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Something big is happening at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Take up to $15,000 off all remaining 2018 Cadillacs. It's all going on now during the Big Win Sales event. You can't miss up to $15,000 off new Cadillacs. Just ask for General Manager Brian Danahy, our good friend here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, and he'll take up to $15,000 off your next Cadillac. All the details are at the dealership. Get to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa just west of 275 on Fletcher or click edmorriscadillactampa.com. That's edmorriscadillactampa.com. At Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, pick your car, now pick your payment. That's right, pick your car, now pick your payment. EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com is the website. You will see all kinds of incredible options there. They are right there on Causeway Boulevard for you in Brandon. So easy to get to. Beautiful dealership. Ira and I have been out there several times, and all new 2018 Cadillacs get 0% financing for up to 60 months, plus receive $2,000 down payment assistance at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Their website, edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. That's where you get it started, edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. Ira, of course, 70-plus years of Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, September 6th. Put it in your darn calendar. We're going out there to Brandon. All right, Sage, guys, I'm going to rely on you because I was not there for the Todd Monken discussion. Lee was saying something about his words about Jameis off something you asked him, Ira, but what were your impressions of Monken? You guys can fill me in right here.
The guy doesn't have a filter. God bless him. Yeah. God bless him. That's why we don't get access to Monken very often. Who knows what he's going to say? Mm-hmm. Now, we chose to suck. That's going to live in infamy. You know, I've been coming out here for 30 years. That's one of the all-timers. No question about it. Like Gruden with so bright, I got to have shades, the future. You know, certain things you're going to remember. Mm-hmm. You know, Raheem, it's a race to 10. Yeah. Of course, I popped in like, does that count the preseason? You know, Monken today, he just tells it like it is, mm-hmm. Lee. Now, I noticed that after about 10 minutes, nobody has said anything about Jameis Winston. He does work with the offense. If it was a defensive player, I wouldn't have put Monken on the spot. So I asked him about Winston, and I immediately, I didn't want him talking about Winston, the thrower, because everybody sees what's mm-hmm. going on, and he's been very sharp, especially in Nashville. I wanted to know about how he's handling things internally. He says he's been a great teammate, which I'm not surprised at that. I don't think you are either, Lee. He's been humbled a bit, and I thought what was great is, you know, elite quarterbacks, no matter who they're working with, they empower those guys. They raise everybody's level.
Which is what Monken said, yeah.
And I think he's thinking that Winston's doing that in practice. The one theme that came through for me, Lee, in everything Monken said is basically, we're practicing a hell of a lot better than we did in 2017. A heck of a lot mm-hmm. better. And that's transferring to the field. And he said, in his experience, and he's got a lot of experience, if you don't practice well, you're not going to play well, for the most part. There are rare exceptions. And, Lee, you were there when he talked about, I asked him about distractions and focus. And I was hoping that he would mention Hard Knocks. And, Lee, sure enough, he did.
He did. It almost sounded like when he invoked Hard Knocks, it wasn't so much as a distraction. It sort of reinforced some beliefs that the players had that, you know what, we just need to show up.
So we just won 9 football games.
Yeah, and we just need to show up, which sort of DeMar Dotson has admitted that to Steve. You were at Arizona last year, and DeMar Dotson all but said that, didn't he?
2 years ago.
But, Steve, it's okay. A sign of immaturity, Steve. It's a sign of immaturity.
Sure, very immature team we got.
You know, that these things go to their head for 9-7 seasons,
well,
Steve.
Did he not also say, Monken said, hey, what you did in college is great, but you're playing against grown men now.
I think the theme, this entire organization has been humbled, and Winston's been humbled, you know, a double time, personally. But these other players off that 5-11 fiasco, he didn't use the word fiasco, but I'll use it. Yeah. I'm not scared to use it. The people that are listening to this podcast are all nodding their head. Yeah, that was a fiasco.
Yeah.
Monken doesn't mince his words. He says we weren't ready to handle it. We did not handle it last year. What's that tell you about the leadership of this football team and why it might be different with some of the guys that Light brought in?
Well, look, that means the leadership gets an F, and we heard about this from other players and other coaches and off-the-record stuff that, for whatever reason, they weren't ready, and we don't need to rehash it. But I don't know if they got the guys now to fix it. You have to hope that they just sort of learned from it, and I don't know. But, you know, one thing I wanted to mention, Ira, you mentioned Jameis. I had a lot of time, a lot of private time today with Brenton Buckner, who's just fantastic. Did you know he spent 4 years? I thought it was just 1 year. He spent 4 years as a sports radio host in Charlotte.
Wow.
4 years. And previously he had been doing some work for NFL Network, doing some stuff for Sirius.
No wonder he's so smooth, Steve.
He didn't want to travel, so he got with his kids. He's like, you know, I just want to stay in Charlotte. He took the radio job, and 4 years. One day we'll get more into that. And
you know who also ended up on Charlotte radio?
GM.
Marty Herney.
Mm-hmm.
When he was bounced as GM, and now he's back.
Yeah.
Now
so are you suggesting Tom Krasnicki will be the next GM of the Bucks?
Well, I don't know, but Herney station called me several times, and I was on with Herney. Now I'm going to call him because Steve's saying, "Oh, go get some scoop on the Panthers from Herney."
Hey, what are we talking about? You're on sports radio. You ought to be the GM of this
joint. He owes me, Steve.
I've been telling you to call Herney for months, so I'm writing it off.
Steve brings up Jameis again. I thought what Monken said about Jameis, you know, you asked him about the incident, you know, the hassle with the Uber, all
and
that.
And how he's handling it.
And Monken said, "Hey, that was a self-inflicted wound.
Yes,
you better own it."
Yes, he did.
It was almost like a father talking.
Well, I forgot to mention, I was bringing Buckner up because I asked him about Jameis. Because everybody talks to Buckner about the defense. I said, Coach Buckner, you see that guy working out here after practice? See him signing autographs? You've been around this league. What's your take on Jameis Winston? You've had a whole camp to soak him in. You know what Buckner, who Buckner compared him to?
You leave no stone unturned, Steve.
No, we spent a lot of time together, which is great. You know what he said?
Don't tell me he compared him to Jake Delhom, his old quarterback with the Panthers.
Even better.
Wait a minute.
He says, I played with Jerry Rice. Essentially compared Jameis to Jerry Rice in the sense that he's like, hey, Rice is out here catching 100 balls before practice, 100 balls after practice, running, doing everything. And he went on a typical Brenson Buckner rant of that being great in this league is not about what you do during practice and in the time you're supposed to work. It's the time, all the extra time that you put in. He goes on, saying, if two guys are equal, what's going to make them better? It's all the extra work. And he, in his mind, Jameis does all the extra stuff, but he views it as that's his job description. You know, you want to play in this league with great quarterbacks every other week. Well, that's the only path to be a great one, but it was some nice stuff. I'm looking forward to writing it
up. Lee, for 3 years, we've been lauding Winston for his work ethic before this incident, mm-hmm. and now it looks like he's ramped it up a little more.
Well, I'll tell you what. It was, I think, a week ago after one of the practices that ended in the indoor hut. And by the way, we all started a campaign. That should be named Malcolm Glazer Indoor Facility, because if it wasn't for Malcolm Glazer, none of this would be here. So at any rate, and I think the Glazer family would like us doing that anyway. Not that we're pining for their pleasure, but still, it would be cool. At any rate, I was speaking with one of our colleagues, and I said, man, is it just me? But Jameis looks awful sharp in practice, whereas before, he didn't really blow you over with his accuracy. But this year, it's different. Jameis, in past years, would push the envelope in practice. In other words, see what he could get away with. You know, if I threw the ball 20 yards out of the picture, is this guy going to make a mad dash and catch the ball anyway? You know, seeing what kind of range wide receivers have, things of that nature. So what looked like very inaccurate passes to us, he was testing his receivers, he was testing his arm, he was testing defensive backs. Now he's not testing guys. Looks like he's throwing for precision. And, you know, to reiterate what you said, Munkin said we're practicing well and that's showing on the field. Well, Jameis is looking good in the games thus far, and he's looking good in practices.
There's a little hiss on that football, Steve. I don't see Winston throwing any floaters up there, which I've seen in the past. I've seen that in the past.
Well, look, he's a 24-year-old guy. He's healthy. He's number one pick. If he's throwing floaters, we all might as well just...
That shoulder's feeling mighty fine, Steve. Mighty fine.
Now, Sage, let me turn you to Dirk Koetter. Dirk Koetter, the guy is adamant every news conference. I'm not talking about injuries. I keep asking, but I'm not talking. It's a waste of time. Injuries, injuries, injuries. I don't really get it, why you can't sort of put the information out there in
general terms.
General terms that lean in favor of the Bucs, right? If the Bucs say a guy's going to be ready in 5 weeks and he comes back in three.
Nobody's going to pick on Koetter for giving us bad information.
And that doesn't hurt his situation with other teams figuring out who's who. So it's odd, but Donovan Smith is the big news. We haven't talked about on this podcast. We know nothing other than what the back channel stuff that we've gotten. And you talked to Jason Light the other night and the movers and shakers around here. What do you make of the injury? What do you think of it? And where does the organization go from here?
Well, Lee, I make the point, and you tell me if you agree. Look, quarterback's the number one position in football. Everybody knows it. Number two, I think, is left tackle. I think that's the number two spot. You better have somebody good there to protect your number one spot.
Backside, yeah.
Backside. Smith has been incredibly durable. I don't want to jinx him.
Iron Man.
48 games, 48 starts. Not too shabby.
Especially for that position.
Is he the best left tackle in the league? Far from it. Is he the worst? Far from it. Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
They want more consistency. I think plays better against better competition. A lot of people like
that. I think
that.
You're right.
They don't want to be embarrassed.
I think you're right.
They don't want to be embarrassed. But I want him, you know, when he's facing an average right end, I want him to obliterate that
guy.
Yeah,
tomato can.
Yeah. And he can do better on run blocking, too. No question about it. When he went down, Lee, I dare say you feared the worst.
I think we all did.
You feared the worst. It looked bad. Well, we got to do an MRI. Yeah, we got to do an MRI. You figure it's going to confirm your worst fears. I get to the Women of Red event Tuesday night. I'm scrambling around.
Getting your Publix turkey sandwich?
Getting my stuff. And on film to boot. Thank you, Douglas. And then I find out it's far from what was feared. Doesn't mean he's going to be back in practice next week. He's not. Doesn't mean he's going to play the last exhibition. He wouldn't have done that anyway.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to play week four anyway.
Exactly.
Okay. Will he be ready for New Orleans? I think that's 50-50.
I think it's 50-50.
You know, it looks like a knee sprain. 2 to 4 weeks. Somewhere in the middle there is right about that New Orleans time. Do you want to rush him in? I don't know. I want him out there if he's cleared. Mm-hmm. If he's cleared, I want him out there. Now, look, this team has better depth in a lot of positions, certainly the D-line. wide receiver. You know, they got the linebackers, not too bad.
Even tight ends.
They don't have depth to tackle. I mean, it's not proven depth. They don't have it.
Bingo, not proven depth.
Not proven depth. Now, I said 2 years ago when we were talking about going into the draft 2 years ago, I said, you know what? I think they should draft a tackle. I wasn't thinking so much of Donovan Smith, but I was thinking of Damar Dotson, who was getting banged up. They didn't do it that year. This year they got Kappa. Trying him at guard. I think he's a tackle. We'll see. But if Donovan Smith doesn't line up, gentlemen, at the Superdome, that's a problem. That's a problem. It's a drop-off. You want to avoid those big drop-offs. And that's one position where there might be a major drop-off. Lee, if he's cleared, do you play him in New Orleans?
If he's cleared, sure.
If he's cleared.
In recent history, when I say recent history, I'm just talking about this calendar year. The Bucs timetable, and I wrote about this on JoeBucsFan.com, the Bucs timetable for convalescence of injuries has been grossly inaccurate.
You were very specific about that.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Kendall Beckwith today, today being Tuesday, Wednesday, which is Wednesday. He's not sure when he's going to be back. Well, how many times did we hear, oh, we're hopeful he'll be back for training camp. Training camp's over. And Beckwith, doesn't know when he's going back get back on the field. It could be Halloween for all we know.
Dotson's right on schedule. We talked to Dotson. He's behind schedule.
Yeah. Sweezy, they got rid of him. It may not have been solely because of his injury, but I'm sure that was part of it. So their timetables, and I don't know if it's on purpose or what, I kind of am inclined to think.
There might be a method to the madness.
Yeah, I'm inclined to think they're giving us, I wouldn't say misinformation, but they're leaning on the side of the most positive. I'm scared that Smith's going to be, let's put it this way, I would not be shocked one bit if he winds up in injury reserve and doesn't come back till week 9. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
Wow.
Would not shock me.
A major blow.
It'd be a major blow, but you know what? I really believe, especially now, I'm convinced now. No one's told me this, haven't spoken with anyone, haven't gotten text in the middle of the night, nothing like that. I believe they were going to go out and get an offensive lineman. They did it Light's first year here at the Bucs when Carl Nix couldn't answer the bell. They went out and got Logan Mankins. When Dotson got injured at Minnesota, first preseason game, Jameis' rookie year, they went out and got their chairless. And they squeezed a year out of him. He was all right for a year. The following year, he fell apart. He became swinging saloon doors. He's out of football now. He's retired. So I'm convinced they're going to go out and get somebody, if for no other reason. Right now, the offensive line looks shaky, and I'm not talking about Donovan Smith. How many chances has Bednarik been given a chance to secure right guard? And he's hurt again. He was out of practice again today. But he hasn't secured that. Kappa is an unknown quantity. Dotson is still not 100%. I think there's a serious issue on this offensive line, and I'm convinced Light's going to get somebody that can swing. And Cutter's a big proponent of guys that are versatile on the line.
And, you know, all our attention has been to the right side of the offensive line. Yeah, they got issues there. What's going on at right guard? The last thing you need is a worry about left tackle. And, Steve, I understand what Lee's saying. Yeah, they might pick up a guy. You're not going to get a good left tackle.
All right, listen, Sage. When Lee said,
he's been waiting for this.
I got a long list here because I'm gonna force you to give
my monologue. Gave him plenty of time to take notes.
Plenty of time.
I'm gonna force you, Sage, to give some intense answers to the hard questions on Donovan Smith. Okay, one. If he's ready for opening day, but he can't do any damn thing on his knee for 2 weeks, what is he going to look like on opening day if he doesn't have a chance to have his conditioning and all this other stuff? And they're going to throw him right on turf in the Superdome against Cameron Jordan. What do you think he's going to play well?
You're the guy that says they got to get off to a good start. You can't waste any games over there.
I'm asking you how much you think it's going to affect Smith if he misses 2 weeks of practice. Let's say he comes back the Wednesday of game week, tests out his knee. It's been 2 weeks, tests it out. Doctors say he's okay, test it out, feels okay. And they throw him out there.
I evaluate him on that Wednesday and that Thursday. And if he looks sturdy, he's in my lineup against Cameron Jordan. You want Cameron Jordan against going up against your scrub left tackle? You want that?
That's not what I want, but you have to look at long-term here. Now, when I mention long-term.
You know what long-term is? Week one.
All right,
with these coaches, with their job security, yeah, that's fair.
Hey, that's the first time the Kempers agree with me in a month and a half.
Well, now, Ira, you know this happens in the NFL. Doctors clear you, and the player's like, hey, man, I'm in a contract year, and my knee doesn't feel right, and I'm Donovan Smith. I've never been injured before, so I don't even know what I'm supposed to feel like, but crap, I got to get out there and, you know, and his agent tells him, hey, maybe you need an extra couple of weeks off so you play healthy and get your contract.
Well, maybe that'll tell us all we need to know about Donovan Smith.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean he's a bad teammate, but at the end of the day, you got to look out for number one. If you think you're being abused and your career is in danger, which means millions and millions of dollars.
If he thinks he can do further damage, Steve, is that what, yeah, that's your point.
Well, it becomes sticky, especially when a guy's in a contract year. You've probably seen this before, you know, and then all of a sudden the regime gets mad. Oh, we cleared him and he didn't want to play. He gets his agent involved. Roy Miller told me this to my face in Jacksonville a couple years ago. He was getting crap from the organization saying, you're healthy, get out there. And he's like, I'm not healthy.
You know who's in a contract year, DeKemper? Dirk Cutter. You know who's in a contract year, DeKemper? Jason Light. Yeah, he's secured for 2019. That doesn't mean he's not going to get canned.
I agree with what Steve is saying. However, I don't think there's going to be any animosity with Light. Cutter, I don't know. But Light has always defended Donovan Smith to a fault. You know, and Light picked him. And from what I've spoken with other NFL people, you know, around the NFL, not with the Bucs, and they don't think that Donovan Smith is a stiff. So I don't think what Steve is saying, you know, on paper, I could see where an agent and a front office get bent, but I don't think that would happen with Light.
Steve, it's tough to find a plug-and-play left tackle late in August. It's very difficult.
All right, well, then I wanted to throw you, and, you know, I'm just throwing it out there because these issues do arise. All right, Ira, now, other thing, Bucks have a backup left tackle. He's been on the roster since 2016. He was a practice squad guy, played a little last year. His name is Mike Litke. He's never taken a snap.
You can't spell his name. I can. You tell me, Mike Litke.
Sure, I can. L-I-E-T-D-K-E.
Yeah, keep reading it from your sheet.
Well, I wrote it down, so I know how to spell it. Look, you have backups for a reason, right? You were here when Donald Penn walked in and never let the job go. Nobody knew who Donald Penn was, and he did a great job for years, so they kicked him out of the building for no reason. So...
By the way, he's been moved to right tackle by Chucky.
Yep. Yeah. Chucky moved him to right tackle, and he's doing it. And, you know, they got the rookie in there. Now, Litke, he's here. He's playing first-team reps today in practice. You think this organization is scared to death just to put this guy in there?
Yes, and yes. That doesn't mean he's not going to develop into a good player. Keyword, develop, Lee. And you've talked to many times, especially in the secondary. How are they about developing offensive linemen? They're okay.
Yeah.
Marpet, Smith, they're okay. You know, Dotson was here long before these coaches got here. We don't know anything about Litke. We don't know anything about him, Lee. All I know is I have a little feeling of trepidation going into New Orleans with him protecting Fitzpatrick's blind side.
Against who?
Cameron Jordan.
Thank you.
One of the better right ends in this league. One of the better right ends of
the league. He could get schooled in a bad way.
It's funny, Ira, that you say.
So you got to give him extra. You got to give him extra help. You know, and that cramps your offensive game plan.
And that's my next question: how much is Ronald Jones really going to play if you need to keep a guy in to block to cover for your left tackle? That changes the whole game plan.
It could lead you to play a two tight end alignment. Lee
Hondo will come in,
which is not a terrible idea. No. To begin with.
Well, look what how the offense did in 2015, was it? They played a lot of two tight ends to help block, and look what happened to Martin and
sometimes Jimmy. You can dictate the defensive coverage when you come out in a two tight end alignment. And Cutter, I think Cutter's got a way of getting these guys open, and it can help the left tackle.
A little funny one for you. We say we don't know anything about Michael Litke. You know, I went to Donovan Smith's night with his bowling charity thing. And this is going back to the spring, and they had a player at each bowling alley. So there I am bowling. You know who's the guy assigned to my lane?
You got
to
be kidding me.
Mike Litke. We talked all night long.
Well, it took you 10 minutes to recognize who the heck he was.
And honestly, you're right. I went to my phone.
You see, Lee?
I'm trying to make sure it's the right guy. Because, you know,
nice guy?
Nice guy. We mostly talked about his experience with the Chiefs. He was in training camp with Andy Reid. And on their practice squad, and I was, you know, pumping them for differences between, you know, what's camp like with Dirk Cutter versus Andy Reid. Unfortunately, it's all off the record stuff. But I told some of you guys this off the record when it happened.
What did he bowl, Steve?
Not much of a bowler. Nice guy though. And it was funny because I had mentioned this. Ryan Jensen was next to us to the left, and this guy was just psychotic, totally into the bowling, and he's worried about his score.
Powering the pins down there.
And he's like a 200 bowler and whatever. Anyway, but Litke, if you look at him in practice, he doesn't have the build, really. He's just one of these scrappy, quote-unquote, football player types. And he's certainly been around. I don't know. I'm not too scared of him, but let's throw it this way.
Lee, the guy can't make a 7-10 split. Can I trust him protecting
well,
a blind side?
I got a quick Lidke line for you. And Lidke went to Illinois State, the football powerhouse of the Midwest. I'm sarcastic, of course. And Illinois State is based in a town called Normal, Illinois.
Normal.
Had I gone to Illinois State instead of Eastern Illinois, the town's name would have been changed to Abnormal.
I don't know. I'm not scared of him, Sage. I'm not scared. But let's put a number on it. How many games does Donovan Smith miss, Ira? If you're reading the tea leaves.
One.
Lee?
I'm trying to think. What was it, week 9, if you put on IR? I just got a feeling.
You're back on that IR thing?
I'm just going by how the Bucks have treated injuries just this calendar year. They've been terribly
off-base. The smile on Jason Light's face Tuesday night did not translate to this guy's going on IR. It did not. But you can't dismiss what Lee's saying either.
Well, I thought maybe that was he was in the company of Darcy Glazer.
Never mind that. You never know about these injuries.
Lee's going with a week 9 return. We'll call it that.
Knee sprain to me is short term.
All right. Well, Lee's talking 7 games. I'm going to go with he's out two games.
And he comes back for the Monday Nighter.
And that's just my gut. But we'll see. I'm not too scared about this. But this will test Dirk Cutter's coaching mettle, you know, if you have to work around a guy.
Do you disagree with my point that left tackle might be the second most important position?
It's obviously critical, but I do remember sitting at the NFL owners' meetings a few years ago, sitting at Sean Payton's table where he lectured everybody on how center and guard is more important than tackle, so that has colored my view.
Carl Nix walk away.
Lee, when they draft an offensive tackle in the top 10 virtually all the time, that guy's projected to be a left tackle. Am I right?
Yeah. For a decade.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not questioning how critical it is, Sage. But
what else you got, Steven?
You know what, Sage? Let's hear about the incredible details of the fan retreat coming up, the Bourbon Street Takeover. This is the road trip of the season with Bucks fans, Stick Carriers, Justin Pawlowski, Ira Kaufman, Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com. Opening day in New Orleans at the Superdome. Start the season right with fanretreat.com and the Bourbon Street Takeover Fan Retreat. What you have to do is go to fanretreat.com, click on Popular Retreats, and you will see all the details, including the night before party, Manning Sports Bar in New Orleans, no charge to get in. We're going to have a blast. Ira's going to be talking to everybody, the commish. There'll be at least 100 Bucks fans there, probably more like 200 or 300. It is going to be so much fun. You can get your game tickets at fanretreat.com. I saw them recently for $50. And, of course, at fanretreat.com, you can get your airline tickets. And the group hotel is there, too. A lot of flexibility. Book everything at fanretreat.com. Just go there, sign in, click on Popular Retreats, and you'll get all the information. Fanretreat.com is your home for all event tickets everywhere. You can set up your own retreat, and you can get all your flights, everything you need at fanretreat.com. This is going to be so much fun. Book now. Don't delay. Even just get your tickets in hotel now if you need to figure out your transportation later. Or get your plane tickets right now at fanretreat.com. Let us know you're coming to the evening event before, and then get your tickets later. So many ways to do it. Go to fanretreat.com.
I'm leaving in a couple of weeks for New Orleans, Lee, and I don't know who's getting there first, me or you. But
I think I am. But...
Yeah, you are, and I'll see you in the gumbo shop, young man.
Yes, I'm buying you a meal there.
More pictures of you stuffing your face, Sage.
Ira's got – how many invitations for dinner do you have? I got
the 3 nights and 5 invitations.
Wow.
The math doesn't add up. Steve, you're going to regret not going to the Big Easy. You're going to regret it.
I'm excited, actually, to be out. I'll be out at Abe's. At Abe's Place, a little opening day.
Nice.
Watching out there. We'll have some more information as that kicks up. Of course, Abe's continues sponsoring JoeBucksFan.com. We love them at Abe's. And the food, dynamite. It's all about the food at Abe's nowadays. Unbelievable.
That's good stuff.
Yep. Unbelievable.
So far, Isbit says no one's got a picture of him eating wings there.
We will.
Nobody's ever seen me eat a chicken wing. A boneless.
Because you don't,
huh? No, I'm not a chicken wing guy. Now, listen. Here we are. When this podcast pops, I'm going to say we are 17 days from the regular season.
Okay.
17 days.
All right.
Now, of course, when people hear this, we've got the quote-unquote dress rehearsal coming up against the Lions. Now, give me your 2 big things you need to see because you're rooting for the Bucks, because you don't have to play journalism games anymore and say that, I don't care. You care. You want to see this team win. What do you want to see?
The first number that pops in my mind, 27. Now, that happens to be Ronald Jones. It is also the number worn by my sports hero when I was a young man, Juan Marichal.
With the big leg kick.
With the big leg kick, the artist, you know, elegant, you know, a very unique delivery, and a Hall of Fame pitcher, and he played for my Giants. So he was my favorite player growing up, Juan Marichal. I got to meet him. My kid was like 2 years old, and he came to Clearwater, and I got to meet him. I took a picture of him and my kid.
Oh,
it's
wow.
A cherished picture, you know, next to the one with Raquel Welch. But it's number two. Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones.
No, that's a hell of a segue. Raquel Welch, Ronald Jones.
both run to daylight. Both run to daylight. Now, Steve makes an excellent point, and he mentioned it on the other podcast. Give Ronald Jones a healthy dose of carries. You know, give him 10 or 12 carries, you know, against the Lions. Why not? Let him do it behind the first-string offensive line, which now is not going to, you know, consist of Donovan Smith. So you got Isbitt's boy Lidke might be showing up at left tackle. I want to see Ronald Jones. I want to see more patience. Lee, I want to see more patience. Trust the guys in front of you. If it's off left guard, go off left guard. Give it a chance. Let it develop. Barber is far more patient at this part. Barber's number one. Mm-hmm. But Ronald Jones is supposed to bring a dimension. And if he averages 2.5 yards a carry, he's not going to get a chance to show that dimension, which is open space. Buck fans want to see him in open space. Well, get yourself an open space. You know, don't bounce everything outside. And these guys are faster than the guys in the Pac-10.
Oh, of course.
They just are Pac-8.
Pac-12.
Pac-12.
Something like that.
He's got to make that kind of an adjustment, yeah. Lee.
Well, that's where coaching comes in. Where's running backs coach to help him out?
On the defensive side, I would like to see the pass rush come together a little bit better. I don't have any questions about JPP. I think he's been the main story of training camp.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
To me, he's my biggest takeaway at training camp. Not only his play, but his passion. And, you know, even Light admitted, some other guys admitted, you don't know what DeMar Dotson said. You know, when we got JPP, I didn't know which JPP we're going to get. Is he motivated? Is he satisfied? The guy has been an incredible leader, Lee. That's going to rub off on everybody.
Yeah, I think it is. Tuesday when I was out here at One Buck Palace, you know, he held court, JPP did. And he all but said, these are my words, not his, I'm paraphrasing, he's been rejuvenated by coming here.
I think that's right.
It recharges his batteries. You know, he's back in Florida. He's from South Florida. He's back in Florida. Played his college ball here. He's a new man. You know, sometimes people say that you need a change of scenery to get back on track. It sure sounds that way with JPP, but I got a quick question for you. Raquel Welch question, since you brought it. What was that great dialogue of a movie where she just grunted and groaned through the whole thing? Caveman?
I believe it was 1 million year B.C.
Yeah, where she said one word the whole movie.
Yeah, it was a dinosaur was her co-star, a big brontosaurus.
Yeah, that she said one word the whole movie.
She didn't need to say more than one word, Lee, because we were saying va-va-voom.
She was running around in a
loincloth. We were providing the soundtrack.
She was running around in a loincloth, basically, right?
And Isbeth is going to say, that's before my time, Kaufman, it's before my time.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody in person say va-va-voom.
Va-va-voom, my friend.
All right.
What are you looking for against your Detroit Lions over there, Steve Arino?
You can ask me. Wow.
I am honored.
You know? Honored. I want to see the run defense continue. They had a great start with the run defense the other day.
And the Lions are not known as a good running team. They're not.
No,
they're not.
But they've got LeGarrette Blount now, and it's been a huge focus. It was the focus of their offseason. So you know what? They want to establish the run.
They throw way too much, Lee. Way too much, Detroit. Yeah. They're not balanced.
And so they're going to try to test themselves and see if they can run when everybody knows it's coming. And I want to see that still still go.
I want to see? This is, I think everybody can agree with this.
You just cut Isbitt's off over there, Lee. He wasn't finished.
Well, he can edit me out. He's got the power.
Keep going.
I think every listener will agree with me, and you probably will too, Ira. The one thing I want to see in this game, everybody walk off the field without need of assistance.
See, now you're talking like Dirk Cutter, smart man. Keep your starters healthy.
And that's always the ultimate goal. The other thing I'd like...
You want to see Noah Spence, right, Steve?
No. I want to see a team that actually acts like it wants to defend its home damn turf and comes out smoking, hair on fire, all sides of the ball, because you got to establish the home field in the NFL to have a chance. And this team hasn't done that in so many years.
Gosh.
So it's got us. It can't just be talk all the time. You got to come out and start busting.
Energize
heads.
That fan base, right, Steven?
Yeah, I mean, they'll like that, but still, you gotta. I gotta see a different team from the start. A smoking.
Oh, what kind of crowd are we expecting, Lee? What do we expect?
Depends on the weather. If the weather's lousy, as in rain, you're talking 16,000 maybe. I mean, it's a preseason game. The worst attendance will be the fourth one, the final preseason game. Which
Steve,
is
Nashville attendance.
I think it was terrible, but
it was better in Miami. It was better in Miami.
You see the crowds preseason across the league is bad. We want to run two tiny ones past you, Sage. And, of course, we're always grateful. EdmoresCadillacTampa.com, EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com, the fine sponsors of your podcast and your work. I don't want to discuss it, Ira, but I want to call everyone's attention to your column. On Wednesday, you were out there at the Women of Red event, not just to look at women, but to gauge a response to Jameis Winston and what people are thinking. Now, of course, people who hate Jameis aren't necessarily going to a Women of Red event and haven't remained Bucks fans, but a lot of perspective in there from real fans. I encourage everyone to read it. The podcast, keep listening. Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, subscribe, leave a comment if you can.
Steve, I heard support for Winston that Tuesday night, but it was guarded support, guarded.
And I think that's where most fans are. Plenty of people I know, hey, I support Jameis. I want him to win and do well, but you know what? You screw up again, the hell with you. Yeah. So that's, you know, you're going to get a lot of that.
I got a question for you, Steve.
Sure.
We get this a lot on Twitter. Speaking of podcasts, will there be a return of the Monday Morning Joe?
There will be. Talking to Buckner, Ira, asked him about Noah Spence, and he basically simply said that Noah Spence's mental game isn't there yet, and that he needs to understand that he needs to, quote, bring a chess player's mentality to the game, and that's his challenge. And not a lot of love for Noah Spence. What do you make of that?
Well, Noah Spence is a key figure, Lee, and I'll tell you why. Look, they got five new defensive linemen, so they're not banking on Noah Spence like they did years one and two. But, Lee, when you look at the D-line, he's the emerging guy. He's the emerging guy. It's not Gerald McCoy. It's not Will Golston. It's not Unrein. It's not Bo Allen. It's not Vinny Carr. It's Noah Spence. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that, you know, he's not even reaching his prime yet. We got, you know, we're looking forward to 7-8 years, a second contract for Noah Spence. He's supposed to be a difference maker and a young one, which they don't. And that's a veteran defensive line now that the Bucks have. Veteran. We don't say that very often about a Buck team, even in a single position, but that's a veteran line. Big, big year for Noah Spence. Big, big year. He doesn't have to get 12 sacks. He's got to make a difference. He's got to be in there on third down, coming off that edge with the fury. And some different techniques, Lee, not just that circle game that we saw with Gaines Adams and you see with so many of these guys in the NFL, Eric Curry way back when. That doesn't work, Lee. It doesn't work. The left tackles are too good.
Well, you know, Steve, you know, like I said, he talked to Buckner today and he got that quote. And I don't know if you had a follow-up or not, Steve, when Buckner said he's got to bring a chess player's mentality. I sort of liken that chess player's mentality phrase to experience. And off the top of my head, when it comes to experience, I don't even know if Spence has 16 games under his belt as far as 16 games played because he's always been hurt. So it may just be, you know, what Buckner is saying is experience. You know, sooner or later, you're going to learn how to toy with these guys' minds, you know, when to use a certain move, when to bait guys, things of that nature. So maybe that just comes with experience. I hate to use the word hopeful because that's what the Bucks always say about injuries, and we just discussed what I think about that. But hopefully that's just experience.
I want to echo Steve's remarks about send the home fans happy if they want to leave at halftime and they don't want to see the backups. That's fine. But let them leave at halftime and go out to the parking lots with a good feeling about their football team. You know, I think it's important.
Yeah, you just lost to Detroit last year at home. You got embarrassed, if you really go back and watch that game. There are a lot of embarrassing stuff in there. Go out and win the first half. I mean, this is this team's greatest challenge.
With the ones.
May not be the game, but yeah, with the ones, go out and win the first half. Going back to Noah Spence, you know, I agree with Lee. He needs time to develop. He missed a whole year last year, essentially what happened. And my fear for him is he's not going to get that experience this year. That's why they paid Vinny Curry the big money. JPP's here, and he's playing well. He's not going to want to come off the field. I don't know. Can you start to become a better mental player and get that experience when you're, you know, maybe coming in for 12 snaps a game? But he still remains an X factor, like you said. And I think you made a great point, Ira, saying that he is the young player in the mix. He's the young juice, especially with Vita Vea just walking around signing autographs. All right, Sage, send us out.
Guys, 9:35 p.m. Friday night, I would like to see the scoreboard blink. Bucks 21, Lions 3. Good night, everybody.